have the information you need when you go through those life experiences. The Bible said after you have suffered for a while, if need be, He will establish, strengthen, and set. He will perfect you, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Isn't that incredible? God is going to bring something so strong and powerful out of our coming to an end of ourselves. Amen. But He can't do it until we come to an end of ourselves. Because if there's any self-confidence in you and me, we're going to lean on that part of our life and ask God to subsidize our strength with His. And that's not how it works. Amen. Amen. He wants your strength to go ahead and break down. And He wants you to see it for what it is. Insufficient. Absolutely undependable. How many know your flesh is undependable? It reminds me of Ephraim in the Old Testament. He was a double portion tribe, son, leader that was the leading elder tribe of Israel, Ephraim, but said, you know why they couldn't get that double portion blessing or even a blessing? Said, unstable as water, you shall not excel. Isn't that incredible? Amen. You're not established. And because of that, you're easily moved. And you fall into sin and you fall into compromise and the blessing that should be yours and could be yours can't come upon you because you can't prevail because you're unstable. The New Testament says, and a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all of his ways. Anybody that's double-minded with God, honey, don't you put no confidence in them. Because if they won't be faithful to God, I guarantee you, you don't have a chance. Amen. And nobody else does either. Amen. My wife's confidence in me in terms of fidelity is based largely upon my faithfulness to God. She knows I love the Lord and I want to do the right thing and I'm not open to that area of temptation. That door is not open. I'm not saying I'm above it. I'm saying that I love the Lord. And I love my wife, and I want to keep my testimony. Amen. Fidelity comes from how faithful we are to Him. If I was unfaithful to God and she saw a different man at home than in the pulpit, living an entire different standard, becoming actually a phony, then she wouldn't have confidence in these other areas of my life. Why should I be more loyal to my wife than I am to my God? Amen. But if I'm loyal to my God, it's easy to be faithful and show fidelity to my wife. I've heard so many misappropriations of scriptures. When I come back, shall I find faith? Has been interpreted as people believing God for Mercedes and all these different material things. And it's not about that. Jesus is not looking for how much you possess, for a man's life does not consist. He taught that in the abundance of things that he possesses. Life. There's more to Christ and life than just our possessions. I want to go on record as saying, if you give, it'll be given unto you. Sow liberty, you'll reap liberally. There are material blessings talked about in the Bible, but they're not top shelf. Amen. The top shelf stuff is kingdom stuff and spiritual stuff that goes beyond price. Amen. The unsearchable riches of Christ and the unspeakable gift of Himself. Who came to save us is far greater than all the riches of the world. Hallelujah. So I want to talk to you again about His love tonight. I want to read out some of the Old Covenant love for the nation of Israel out of Isaiah 43 verses 1 through 7. We may cover some ground that we've been upon, but God has brought us back to it. And I love these scriptures. We're in the radio broadcast in a similar vein because we're talking about the gospel of grace. And the God of grace, and who has a God as gracious as our God. And one of the things I noticed in the study of some of the Old Testament prophets is when people returned to the Lord and He returned to them, something marked His return that the nations might know that God is back with His people. His people are back with their God. And that was the supernatural provisions of God in their behalf and the supernatural protection of God in their behalf. Can you say amen? The supernatural always attended God returning to His people when they returned to Him. Amen. He didn't just return and say, now you're still vulnerable to your enemies. No, He said, when I return to you, no enemy's going to touch you anymore. That hedge is going to go back up. And if they do try to violate that hedge, I'll send an angel. I'll do what's necessary to protect you. He said in one instance, I gave men for you to the nation of Israel. That meant when they came against you in battle, I saw to it that they were defeated. And the blood of your enemies ran and soaked the ground because your God is your protection. Can you say amen? Something's going to happen. Not too long from now, if these are the last days, and they are, something's getting ready to happen in the Middle East. All of these nations that are sworn to the destruction of Israel, they mean it. This is not political rhetoric. They are committed to the annihilation. There are nations right now in the Middle East who have maps of the Middle East, and on the most contemporary current maps in their libraries, they do not show Israel as a nation because they do not acknowledge Israel as a nation. So if you went into a library in one of these capitals of one of these nations and you wanted to see a map of the area, you couldn't find Israel on it. Because they deny that they own that their inhabiting that land is valid. And the Bible said an alliance of nations one day are going to come up against what they consider an unwalled city, unprotected. Right now, they're allies. We are the major ally of Israel. Do you realize that? The United States. And one of the reasons we're hated and despised like we are is our affiliation with Israel. So is Great Britain. Great Britain is another ally of us and of Israel. And look at the terrorism events that have happened and were potentially about to happen in Great Britain. Why? Because we align ourselves with this little nation in a little piece of terra firma, a little piece of land, not much bigger, not any bigger probably than New Jersey. It's a little place, but yet it's the most disputed piece of land on the planet. Israel, centerpiece of all Bible prophecy. And according to the prophetic scriptures, allied nations will come up against Israel, which will include Russia, include probably China, include many of the Middle Eastern nations. They'll come out allied against the nation of Israel. And the Bible said once they commit themselves to the destruction of Israel, God is going to do something that sounds kind of strange. So that God is going to put a hook in their jaw. Amazing terminology in Ezekiel. God is going to put a hook in their jaw. In other words, you commit yourself to destroy my people, then you have absolutely called me out to battle. So I want to demonstrate the strength of my covenant to a gainsaying world. So if you're committed to, listen, this is not an aggressive nation that wants to swallow up other lands and peoples. They just want to be left alone. Amen? I mean, I hate to get too political here, but what are they doing to anybody? They just say, leave us alone. Let us exist and coexist. But people sworn to their destruction says, we'll never coexist until you're annihilated. We are very close to being drawn into some serious military stuff with Iran because the leader of Iran is publicly committed to the destruction of Israel and they are developing nuclear capability. And if they get it, they will surely use it. And by the way, Israel will not sit back and let them get it. If we don't step in and step up as an ally, they will defend themselves, amen, aggressively against any other nation. But this is going to be different when it happens, amen, in the last day, in the latter time. When this battle takes place, it said God is going to put a hook in their jaw. It's like hooking a big tarpon and reeling him in. Amen. God literally, did you know what God did to demonstrate the power of his covenant with Pharaoh? The Bible said when Pharaoh took that attitude and that stance against God's people and said, I'll never let them go, no matter what. You know what the Bible said God did? It said God hardened his heart to not let them go. He said, now it's too late for you to let them go. Now I don't want you to let them go. Now I'm going to take them from you. Can you say amen? Are you listening to me? I'm going to demonstrate that this is not just a man talking about a God who is nothing more than the religious philosophy of the Jews. This God is real. Can you say amen? And you have my people and you're holding my people and I told you to let them go. And if you don't let them go, then I'm going to demonstrate that I am the God of this people. Even if you're the greatest, most powerful nation in the world at that time. Egypt, I want you to know there is a God in Israel. They're nothing but slaves. And the man I sent to lead them out has been not been a soldier or a great political leader. He's been keeping sheep for 40 years. He's got stammering lips. His confidence is gone. And he said when I called him, "You're probably making a mistake. I'm not an orator." And God had to say to him, "Who made a man's mouth?" Amen. But God conceded, "But I'll give you Aaron to be the spokesman. You tell him what to say. He'll do the talking." Moses. Keeping sheep for 40 years after running for his life, amen, from Egypt. Once a prince in Egypt and now just keeping sheep. And God shows up after 40 years of herding sheep and says, "I want you to go tell him to let my people go." Can you say amen? And then the Bible said he hardened Pharaoh's heart because he wanted to demonstrate to the gainsaying world and to the Egyptians, there's a God in Israel. Now you can't give them to me, but I can take them from you. And I want you to know that I didn't send him to beg for their release. I sent him to tell you, under my command, to let my people go. Can you say amen? There's a difference. God isn't pleading tonight. Can you say amen? God isn't pleading. I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. Amen. He gave a command to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh being, there was no greater military power in the world at that time. Egypt was the greatest military power in the world at that time, commanded the greatest standing army at that time. Amen. And God's people were slaves to this nation at that time. But God said, "I want you to let my people go, and I command you to do it." Tell him what? Tell him, "Let my people go. Who shall I say sent me?" Tell him the I am sent you. The I am. That means the God that is from everlasting. The God who never had a beginning and who will never have an end. The pre-existent, always existent, omnipresent God. Omnipotent too. On top of that, can you say amen? Hallelujah. The almighty God of Israel says, "Let my people go." God sent the plagues until it broke the back of that land, broke their economy and broke their spirit. And finally, it broke the heart of Pharaoh when his firstborn son was dead. Amen. And they finally said, "Turn them loose." And when they went out of that town, when they went out of that nation, when they went out of that capital, the Bible said there's details in here that not even a dog barked. Almost 3 million people walked and with carts moved out of Egypt. And not one dog, angels of the Lord, didn't just deliver them. They shut not only the mouth of the lion, but even a dog couldn't bark. God said, "My deliverance is so complete, they had nothing to do with it." The only thing they did concerning their deliverance, amen, was kill a lamb. Come on, and take some hyssop and dip it in the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorpost and the side post, and it drips down on the threshold so that now there's blood all over that threshold. You can't come in or go out without passing through that blood. Incredible deliverance that not even a dog was able to open its mouth against them as they left. They didn't have to fight their way out. God said, "Let them go." God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And listen to what the Bible said in the book of Ezekiel. I'm going to read this in a few moments. You know what he said? He said, "When they commit themselves, and there's no turning back, and they're committed to the destruction of Israel, I'm going to put a hook in their jaw and bring them into my land. I'm going to bring them. I want the confrontation. They're blasphemed. They've said I don't exist. They don't believe I have a covenant. They don't believe I'm the true and living God. They don't believe on my son. They don't even give him any credibility. So I want them to come. I want this opportunity to show that my commitment to my people, to provide for them and to protect them, is mightier than all the nations of the world with all of the military might that they command. There is a God in Israel." And this is going to be supernatural. This is not going to be like the Six-Day War when God blessed them to win a battle. There's a difference in God blessing them to win a battle and when God Himself takes up the fight. Can you say amen? The Lord is the defense of Israel. And even though they haven't accepted the Messiah by and large, they're covenant people. Can you say amen? And even though their end of it is not complete, God is still in covenant. And he's going to demonstrate that. He said, you're going to think yourself to take a prey and you're going to come up against unwalled cities. I look for the political climate to change enough because of all of the liberal views here in America to where allying with Israel won't be politically correct in the future. And it's going to be dangerous to us more than dangerous to them. Can you say amen? Nation, I'll bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you. Amen. Billy Graham is getting ready to pass beyond. He had bleeding recently. His wife is recently deceased. Amen. He stays home most of the time now. He went to see a place dedicated to his life and ministry. And you know what he said about it? I love what he said as he walked through. He said, it's kind of like attending your own memorial, your own funeral before you die. All these allocates to his accomplishments. He said, I only find one thing wrong. They had built this whatever with, you know, funds that had been given to honor him and his ministry because they know the end is near. They wanted to do something while he was alive, and they asked him what he thought of it. He looked around at his picture on the wall here and there, and he said, there's just one thing wrong with this whole place. He said, there's too much here about Billy Graham and not enough about Jesus Christ. I love that attitude. Can you say amen? Well, he has counseled presidents concerning prophecy and the nation. Right now, they're so messed up. The world is so messed up. If they even thought that our president would sit down with a preacher of the gospel, amen, a respected minister, and open the prophecies and begin to make decisions concerning this nation in light of what God said is coming and happening, how blessings are obtained and how curses are given, they have even mentioned the fact that our president right now has led a Bible influence him in any way and laughed him to scorn. And I've seen them in their on television doing that, just lampooning him for praying or mentioning God. Or how can we let anybody like this that believes there is a God and believes in creation, the creation that God created, how can anybody put someone in as president that believes like that? I believe the day is coming when it's going to look like Israel doesn't have an ally. I believe unwalled cities means unwalled cities. There's no barrier. You know, in the Gulf War, we were a buffer. They were shooting Scud missiles into Israel until we arrived. And honey, all that stuff stopped. Amen. Those people, there's fear. This great army that Saddam Hussein said he had back during the Gulf War that were these crack troops that were supposed to fight to the death, they fell apart. Fear gripped them. They ran at us, all right, to be taken prisoner rather than annihilated. American soldiers would see a bunch of men running. They got ready for battle. These men were not coming to fight. They were coming to surrender. So much for this crack troops. Some of the things God did in the old covenant was he let a spirit of fear literally loose upon an army that was fearless in battle and fearful in battle for anyone trying to defend against it. But when God turned loose, sometimes the earth would shake and people would quake. God is God. Amen. We're living in momentous times. We're living in times that are like no other times. And God said, once these allied nations commit themselves to the destruction of my people, I'm not going to try to dissuade them. In fact, I'm going to put a hook in their jaw and draw them on forward. They will think themselves, Ezekiel said, to take a prey. They will come up against unwalled cities. And then God steps up and God steps in and supernaturally defends this little nation no bigger than Rhode Island or New Jersey. Incredible. God himself steps in. And the carnage and the death that is supernaturally imposed upon that allied army will be so great it said ships at sea would hold their nose at the stench of all of the dead bodies on the land. 7 months will be spent just burying the dead. 7 months of just bulldozing trenches and throwing bodies in and covering it up. That is a coming event. And you can see it coming as nations of the world align themselves against God and His Son. It's coming. An unwalled city. You know, if we would break off of our commitment to be an ally to this little nation, a lot of other nations would applaud us. May even find a reason to find some kind of compromise with the United States and with Great Britain. But it's because we won't break that allied stand with Israel. I frankly don't believe America is blessed just because we're so righteous anymore nationally. There's a remnant here, but it is a remnant comparatively to the mass of society. I understand this used to be called a Christian nation, but they don't even want that label on it anymore. By and large, the populace doesn't want to live under that umbrella anymore. Can you say amen? But, amen, I believe one of the reasons that God has blessed us is because we've always stood with that little nation. Can you say, man, we've aligned ourselves politically and militarily with that little nation in the Middle East. If we would just back off and let it go, maybe we wouldn't have it so rough initially. Maybe there would be a little period of peace, but as long as we align ourselves, we're going to have trouble here. But we're going to have blessing from the Lord. When we fought in the Gulf War for no other reason but to defend that nation, not this nation was at issue so much as that nation and the oil rights of another nation, but for whatever political reason, when we fought on that battlefield, no contest. Amen. They threw down their weapons. Those that didn't throw them down were consumed. God took up the fight. And God will take it up again. Amen. He said, I'm going to put a hook in their jaw. I'm going to draw them. And then they'll know that I'm God. Because you sure can't convince them any other way. But I will reveal myself. That's for the provision and the protection of His people. God is committed. Love operates that way. I love my children. I love the Lord and I love people. But if somebody tries to hurt my children, I'm sorry. Can you say, man, I will defend my children. If I didn't defend them, I do not love them. You understand what I'm saying? I won't defend myself. Amen. I'll try not to fight back as somebody that just slaps me or talks about me. But if my family is threatened, I'm going to stand up in their behalf. We're God's family tonight, church. Amen. Come on, King's kids don't just mean you get a bunch of stuff. It means you have a God. Amen. Hallelujah. Who stands with you. We're spiritual Israel tonight. If you think God is just going to defend that nation and we can't depend on Him to come to our rescue, you're wrong about that. Amen. Everything has changed. Amen. The way God looks at people, the way He dispenses His covenant has changed. Amen. He is a true Jew now who's not just after the lineage of someone in Israel, amen, from Abraham, but now we have become grafted into that true vine because of the new covenant, and they that are of the household of faith are who? How does God view us right now? Who are we now that we've come? Galatians said, you are they that are of the household of faith. Everybody say, that's all of us that have believed on Jesus. Say it, that's believed on Jesus. Jew and Gentile. Amen. What happens in the book of Galatians? It said, they that are of the household of faith are Abraham's seed by faith. And the blessing of faithful Abraham has come upon them. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That means God will defend. Listen, if God's going to defend that nation, God's going to defend me. God's going to defend you. God's going to take care of us. Can you say that? Hallelujah. As Christians, as believers, we need to understand we're Abraham's seed. Just because we don't live in Israel don't mean we're not Israel. Wow. So when I pray and put my armor on, I know that God is standing up when I take my stand. Glory to God, because He's a covenant-keeping God. Hallelujah. Wow. And He loves to prove Himself. God loves to prove Himself. What irked Him is because when they came out of Egypt, they wouldn't let Him prove Himself. He said, what wall cities with your God going before you? What's the problem? Giants in the land with your God going before you? What is the problem? A new generation said, let's see if our God will keep a covenant in spite of all these circumstances. And when they stepped into the water stood up to cross into the promised land. When they confronted the city of Jericho, the walls fell down. Hallelujah. Amen. And the armies fell back and said, we were afraid that you would come here because we've heard of what? The exploits of your God. Can you say amen? You know what we need? We need for people to not just view us as another religious, man-made religious system, as powerless, amen, as any other system is of man's religious philosophy and ideals. They need to understand this is different. There is a God in Israel. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 There's victory. God wants us to obtain victory so that His name might be glorified and known among the heathen. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I don't really see any difference between your God and this one's God and that one's God. A man said that one time when he came up against Hezekiah. Hezekiah said, we're going to call on our God and stand our ground. And you know what he said? Sennacherib said, we've conquered every nation that we've come up against. Every battle we have fought, we have won. We got you outnumbered. We've fought greater nations than you, and we've beat them. And you say you're going to call upon your God and stand your ground? I got news for you. Every nation we defeated called upon their God. And their God couldn't deliver them out of my hands, neither can your God. And Isaiah was standing there by Hezekiah when he read it. And Isaiah said, let's go to the temple and show this to God. God's got to see this. And they took that scroll and took it into the temple. And the Bible said they spread it out before the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Isaiah and said, you shall not have to fight. The battle's not yours anymore. It's mine. Whew. Somebody give God glory in this room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he sent an angel that night. And when the king got up in the morning, 185,000 troops lay dead. And only the king was alive to see it. And the king said, there's a God in Israel. Can you say amen? This is not a military thing, a political thing. We have come up against a genuine God. Not a man-made God, but the God who made man. Can you say amen? Halabokosanda li salamane. Not a figment of someone's religious imagination, but a living God, hallelujah, that's in covenant with this little group of people. Don't understand that, but we have to face that when they're right with Him. See what happens in America? We need this nation to come back to God so that God can come back to this nation. Because when we were right with God nationally, amen, no army could stand against this nation and prevail. Amen. We won our wars and we won them quick. World War II was fought quicker than Vietnam. Fought to victory. Hello? And it was fought to victory quicker than Iraq is now. We need the return of God. And we need to return to Him so He can return. And I'll tell you what else we need in the Church of Jesus Christ. We need the supernatural again. Amen. We've seen what money can do when enough people get together. We need to see what God can do. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? We see the big churches. We see big preachers. We see big houses and big automobiles. But what we need to see is demons cast out. What we need to see is people delivered and set free. What we need to see is Holy Ghost revival. What we need to see is sick people that are healed because Jesus is in the midst. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When God returns, amen, the supernatural provision is there. Supernatural protection is there. They're marked with the supernatural because their God is alive. He said, I'm not like the gods that men have made, this God who made man. He said, they have eyes that can't see. Their idols have eyes, but they can't see. They're blind as a bat. Can you say amen? They have ears, but they're deaf. They can't hear. They have arms and hands, but they can't touch. But he said, I'm different. My eyes are on the righteous. My ears are open to their cry. And I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear not, he says to Israel. Can you say amen? For I am thy God. Let me read this tonight and we'll quit. But God is good. Hallelujah. And he's going to prove himself in this whole historic panorama of the last days. God is going to prove himself. And Israel is the timepiece. We're in the middle of a great falling away. But that's not going to move God from standing up and keeping his covenant. And we are members of that covenant people tonight, living right here in America. And we can expect God's breakthroughs, God's provision, God's protection, God's supernatural in our behalf. Because we got a covenant established through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a better covenant than Hezekiah had, established on better promises. Can you say amen? Woo! And if there was deliverance for them and him, there's deliverance for you and for me. Glory be to God. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's that vigilant. Not that God needs to sleep, because he's not a man. And also the fact that he's not a man, he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said it, and will he not do it? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, he said it, and he set it down in holy writ. Glory to God. Not only did he say it, it's contained in a book of his words. This is God's word. I tell you, that's different, isn't it? This is God's word. Come on, church, this is God's word. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said it? Hath he not said it? And shall he not do it? Can you say amen? He's not like us. He's not subject to lie or break down. Hath he not said it? And will he not do it? He's not subject to the things that might oppose him. Amen. If he wants it done, he'll get her done. Come on, God will get her done. Hallelujah. Zerubbabel couldn't get her done. God told him to do something for him. He saw all the opposition. It loomed like a mountain. And God said, don't be afraid of that mighty mountain, Zerubbabel. Don't stand there in your weakness and look at the strength and size of the opposition. Amen. God, he said, listen, the mountain that stands before you shall become as a molehill, shall become as a plain. It'll be flattened to the ground. Can you say amen? Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. God can get her done. Things we can't possibly tackle. But when God stands up in behalf of a person or a people or a nation, everything changes. The supernatural is involved. The supernatural is involved. The Bible said when Israel returned and God returned, we're dealing with this on the radio broadcast, that the people around Israel saw the wonders return. Everybody say the wonders. What are wonders? It's things that make you say, I wonder how you did that. Signs and wonders return. Not in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, not under Christ, but God providing and protecting Israel. The wonders return. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wondrous thing. It's a something of wonder. Amen. When fire falls out of heaven on an army. Can you say amen? What caused that? What weapons were used? None of the opposing army. God did it. When the earth quakes at God's command, till no man can stand on his feet, And they realize we're not up against just an army here, but someone who commands the ground to shake, and it shakes us, and we can't even stand up to fight. So I can see an army running not on their 2 feet. I can see an army running like dogs on their hands and knees because they can't stand the shaking. And they come out like mighty, defiant army, and they run like dogs yelping away. When God stood up for Israel, and here we live defeated lives as if God, if He exists, and we believe that in our head, but He sure doesn't have any covenant commitments to us. That's baloney. He does commit Himself to us. But if we don't stand, we limit Him. Amen. How many know that first generation could have took the land? It's not because they couldn't, it's because they wouldn't. Yea, they turned back, limited the Holy One of Israel from doing what? From showing that He was strong to keep His covenant in spite of the circumstances. I told you that's your land. Amen. In fact, when they hesitated after the new generation, there's always stragglers. And when the new generation went over, there were some tribes that didn't go with them. Amen. And He sent the prophet to them and said, how long will you be slack to go over and possess the land that the Lord your God hath given you? Amen. How long will what? You be slack to go and possess what the Lord has provided, what the Lord has pronounced yours. See, the misconception, if it's ours, we don't have to do any act of faith on our part. It just falls in our lap. That's the misconception. God didn't ask them to do anything supernatural. He asked them to cross over that river in His name and declare, amen, this is our land. That's all. He caused the city wall to fall. He is the one that defeated the enemy with supernatural victories. Amen. We're slack. We sit back and complain with promises that we should be possessing. If you didn't have a promise from God, you'd have every right to complain, and so would I. But we got promises. And if we don't possess the land, it's not because God didn't provide the land. It's because we didn't claim by faith the promises. And we live in defeat with a covenant God. And our victory brings Him glory. Say that again. Our victory brings Him glory. Does that give you any incentive to fight a little bit harder? Amen. To bring Him glory? What does my defeat bring Him? People look at me and say, so that's what His God is capable of. So that's the end work of His great God that He's always praising and singing to, praying to and talking about. That's it right there. This depressed, defeated, deceived man that's been defrauded out of all the blessings that God has provided. That's it. There he is. That's it. This complaining guy that's making himself some kind of victim in the name of Jesus. Well, if you think you're going to bring Him glory by your defeat, you're wrong. Your humility, yes. Your humble dependence on Him, yes. Even your brokenness He can bless. But what He can't bless is our pitiful condition of defeat. Our victory brings glory to our King. Hallelujah. And I want to see my King honored and glorified. I don't want to come down here with a case of the poor old me's. I want to come down here with how blessed I am. Can you say amen? How blessed you are. And the blessing has little to do with, as long as I have food and raiment in Christ, I am blessed and I am victorious. It's when I don't have that contentment in my heart that I'm losing ground. When I don't have that victory over the devil that lies to me and says, well, if you could do anything for God, you'd have a huge church. Well, that's baloney. I'm doing something for God without the huge church. Amen. We're on the radio without a sponsor. Amen. Hallelujah. Because God did it. God is sending His word where He wants it to go. And we don't have to have personal influence to get her done. Because God wants it done. It's the joy of my heart just to watch God do it. I'll never have another nervous breakdown because of pastoring. I went through nervous exhaustion because of pastoral pressures. But that'll never happen to me again. Because I will never, ever worry about things, amen, like I worried about them then. It's not that I won't have legitimate concerns tonight. It's not I won't catch myself worrying. But when I do, I'm going to catch myself and shake myself and say, there's a God in Israel. and the mountain that stands before us can become as a plain because of the activity of His Spirit on it. If He wants it done, I open a door and no man shall shut it. Woo! We're the only ones that can do it. So Satan concentrates on you and me. Because God's door. Oh, by the way, let's get back to the door as we get ready to close. And I read this scripture. Paul said, I'm going to tarry here at Ephesus until the day of Pentecost. Because a great and effectual door is open unto me. And I'm going to breeze through it. I'm going to sail through that door. And I'm going to go nothing but prosperity and victory. Oh, as I go through this mighty door of service and effective evangelism that God has opened. No, he said a great and effectual door is open unto me. And there are a few issues that came up. No, there are many adversaries. How do you know it's a God-open door? Because hell fights it with everything hell has to fight it with. Hello? We get a breakthrough here at church. Look out. Trouble is coming. That's not to make you paranoid. It's to make you prepared. Can you say amen? You can't plunder hell to populate heaven and the devil sit back and take it without responding. Our enemy will respond. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. If we stand our ground, he'll lose. And God will be declared victor, and we won't be victims anymore. Somebody give God praise in this room tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Will you stand to your feet for the reading of this word? The Spirit of the living God is upon me again tonight, if you can find it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to this. I'm going to read this. Isaiah 43. Here's God's commitment to love them and to help them in the time of trouble. Listen to what he says to them carefully. Isaiah 43, 1 through 7. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Every time you see Israel, every time you see Jacob, every time you see Abraham and Isaac, I want you to identify. Amen. They that are of the household of faith are what? Abraham's seed by faith. And the blessings of who? Abraham have come upon them. For in Jesus Christ, amen, this new covenant brings you in as a graft into the true vine. Are you listening to me? Everybody say, let's identify. Can you, not just with your denominational preference, but with your royal bloodline. Glory be to God. And with your covenant brothers and sisters. Listen to me. They that are of the household of faith are Abraham's seed in God's sight. And the blessings of Abraham that was on that seed has come on this seed. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. He is not a Jew anymore. That's just a Jew by national heritage. Not just the circumcision of the flesh, but the circumcision of the heart. Can you say amen? For in Jesus Christ, under this covenant, there is no more Jew nor Greek. There is no more bond nor free. There is no more male nor female. There's a common ground at the foot of this cross where a covenant ratified by the blood of Jesus has brought us in, and the middle wall of partition. Hallelujah. Jew and Gentile, covenant people and non-covenant people, because of those that believe on Jesus, that middle wall of partition has been brought down, and God looks at us as one nation. New Testament. He's broken down the middle wall of partition. And believe me, there was a wall up because the woman at the well was Syrophoenician. You know what that meant? A Jew wouldn't even talk to her. Can you say amen? Just by her birth, the nation she was born into, the man that fell among thieves, a priest passed by and wouldn't even stop to help him. Amen. Because he wasn't of the household of faith. He was considered dog. Amen, an outcast. Amen, because they were not part of the covenant elite. The covenant people, they had no covenant. Jesus reminded a woman asking for deliverance for her daughter that was vexed of a devil. You don't have a covenant. She said, yeah, but dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And she came into this covenant relationship. But it really didn't happen until after the cross. That's when we were grafted in and we became part of this thing. We're part of this thing. Can you say amen? Everybody say, let's identify. Hallelujah. So when you read the Old Testament now, don't exempt yourself. Say, that's my God. That's my covenant-keeping God. Hallelujah. I'm Abraham's seed. He protects Israel. He's going to protect me. He provides for his nation. He's going to provide for my household. I'm going to get out on his promises. Hallelujah. He's a covenant keeper. To 1,000 generations, he said, I'm a covenant keeper. Oh, I'm a covenant keeper. Hallelujah. That's why a man said it makes no difference to God to save by many, by few. He said, I don't care how many people claim the covenant, whether it's 2 or 2 million. When you claim the covenant, I stand ready to keep the covenant. Oh, please get in this with me tonight. Amen. There's more with us than them. They got the arm of flesh. We got our covenant-keeping God. That's what Hezekiah told them. Hallelujah. That's why Shama stood in a pea patch when everybody run and armed soldiers came to take their land from them. He stood and defended it. Why? Because he said, I got a covenant-keeping God. And if everybody else don't want to stand on it, I'm going to stand on it. If I stand on it, he'll keep his covenant with me. Because I'm the seed. I'm one of the seed. I'm one of the seed. I mean, he'd be a lunatic if he didn't have some reason for standing there and believing that God would defend him in spite of the odds. That's what got Jonathan and his armor bearer to go up against 1 million armed men with 300 chariots. Jonathan said, hey, we're covenant. He had to have a reason for his faith to work like that. He wasn't a complete lunatic, and God doesn't reward lunacy. He honors faith. Amen. Well, where'd the faith come from? Did it just pop up in him? No, he knew we got a covenant. Those people are in hiding because they won't claim the covenant. But we're going to claim the covenant. You and me, buddy, through his armor bearer, we're going to claim the covenant. Amen. God said it makes no difference to save by many or by few. Well, you can't get much fewer than the two of us. But God said it didn't matter to him. Victory is when the Spirit of God supernaturally operates with you. Not when you have the whole army out here, amen, and you have overwhelming odds. No, it's when God gets involved. That's when victory comes. He said God will keep his covenant with two of us if we will stand on it and give him the opportunity to prove himself. So he said, let's go up and show ourselves to him. It may be that God will fight for us today in behalf of the nation of Israel. And you know the rest of the story. Amen. 1 million people ran from 2 with 300 chariots that they put in reverse and peel rubber the other way or whatever's on the wheels. Amen? Amen? Did they do it? Is that a little story fabricated by overactive imaginations, or is this a historical event where God defended his people? Well, that God of history, amen, is still around, church. Hallelujah. Maybe let God arise and his enemies be scattered. I don't know. Find what you can find. Either one will do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me read this before I preach again. I don't think you could stand it, and I know I couldn't. Listen to this. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say unto the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Ethiopian Jews are coming from the south, amen, back and kissing the ground when they get off the airplanes. And Russia had to give up theirs, amen, as well. Keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. For everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. You read verse 4 in the New International. It reads like this. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Because God loves us is the basis for every redemptive act in the Bible, both Old and New Covenant. Because God loves us is the reason He gave His Son to die in our place on the cross. The cross literally screams, I love you. Because God loves us is the reason behind every answered prayer. Because God loves us is the foundation for all our faith and trust. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the sons of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wing. Because God loves us is the very essence of grace. We have unmerited favor because we have unconditional love. Because God loves us, we have unshakable hope in spite of our immediate circumstance. Because God loves us, we can begin again and get past our past and look forward to a future that He has provided. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I read one more scripture while you're standing? Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 9, it just keeps getting better and better and better. For thou art a holy people to the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself. Above all the people on the face of the earth. Is there any New Testament counterpart for the New Testament believer? For thou art a royal priesthood. Thou art a holy nation. Thou art a chosen generation, a peculiar people. Can you say amen? Verse 7 says, the Lord did not set His love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you. And because He would keep the oath which He swore to your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. That means in 21st century postmodern world, this God exists. This covenant is intact. And if we'll stand upon His promises, God is ready to move by His Spirit. He's ready to act on your mountain tonight. Woo! You didn't hear me? This God is ready to act on your mountain by His Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him. Hallelujah.